Wild show. So much content. Just pushing content. All right, we start hour number three. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. A tremendous Thursday to you. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It has been a heavy, heavy interview day. I've got another great one right now. In the meantime, if you want to get in the rotation, 1-800-636-8686. But first things first, we are joined by an NFL Network analyst. He spent 8 years as an NFL scout. You can follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. He is host of the Move the Sticks podcast along with Bucky Brooks. It is available each week. He is a very good friend of the program. He is a three-on-three legend. He is Daniel Jeremiah. DJ, what's going on?
Hey, first of all, man, as someone who grew up in San Diego, there was no buddy that was more of a no-doubt Hall of Famer than Tony Gwynn. That was until recently you got yourself in the Hall of Fame, buddy. Much deserved, and couldn't be happier for you.
DJ, thank you so much. I appreciate you, and I appreciate you saying that. That means a lot to me, Daniel. Thank you very, very much. All right, that said, and I appreciate it, it is that time of year, the time of year where I'm watching you on social. Well, I always am, but especially now because you are breaking down lots of film. You are listening to lots of Christmas music. How is your life right now?
Well, dude, you know where I live. I'm out in Murrieta, and it's hot out here. It's like 80 degrees outside, and I want fall. So I just cranked the AC to make it really cold. I've got a blanket. I've got a coffee. I've got Christmas music, and I've got, like, LSU wide receivers. Like, that's what I did yesterday. It was fantastic.
That is great. And I know you've got Hallmark Christmas movies, too, right? Has that started yet, and have you seen any?
Yeah, dude, I was on the road. I checked into the hotel with the Chargers. Up in Oakland, and you know, like, I'm just getting some work done, but I wanted just some background noise, you know. So I just flip on the TV, and like, literally, what comes on? It's like a Hallmark movie, which I didn't know there was a difference between Hallmark Channel and Lifetime. Apparently, those are two different channels,
right?
But they're both in the Christmas movie business. Like that's like the Yankees and the Red Sox, I imagine, in the Christmas movie space.
Man, no doubt.
But Rick Fox was in this thing. I mean, I was sucked in. I watched the whole thing.
Of course he was. Daniel Jeremiah is joining us. So, Daniel, I want to start first with Seattle, San Francisco on Monday. You and Bucky are doing a really cool thing. We are getting into how teams are built. Before we get into that, what did you make of how both teams showed up overall Monday night?
It was awesome, man. I mean, five full quarters of football, physical. Both defensive lines, you know, playing at a high level. Clowney, like, dude, that's the guy that I saw at South Carolina that was just, you know, an absolute freak, and took over a football game. This year, I mean, trade wise, Jim, you know, I love picks. You know, I'm a draft guy, and I love picks as much as anybody. But the value that the Seahawks are getting for Clowney, the value that Pittsburgh's getting for Minkah Fitzpatrick. The value, even though they gave up two ones, that Houston's getting with Laremy Tunsil, these are proven stud players that are having a big-time impact versus picks that you're hoping and wishing are going to be correct. So that's been an interesting subplot. But back to that game, and it was just fun. It was just a fun playoff atmosphere.
DJ, you mentioned Minkah Fitzpatrick. He's been unbelievable. Unbelievable, and you can see what he's done to solidify that back end and what he's done for that Steeler defense. At the time of the trade, though, did you like that trade?
My only question was, okay, where, you know, it was right after Roethlisberger got hurt. So, you know, my only thinking was, man, if this is it for Ben, you know, having a top 10 pick could maybe help you get the next guy if you don't think Mason Rudolph is that guy. That was my only reservation. Now, Minkah Fitzpatrick, I thought, was a stud coming into the draft. And, you know, I thought he would be really good there. I did not know that he was going to take it up to the level he's at. I mean, he's arguably in the mix. You know, he's definitely in the mix, I should say, for Defensive Player of the Year. And they found a way to win games like the Ravens used to win games back in the day, where you don't have to score a whole lot of points, the defense takes care of it for you. So he's 22 years old. The money's already been paid. They owe next to nothing for the next 2 years. And where they're going to be picking, which is probably going to be outside the top 15, they would never see anybody close to as good a football player as Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us in the jungle once again. DJ, there were a couple of moments in that game Monday night that felt like vintage Russell Wilson, especially that 3rd and 16. If we were to go back, what do you remember about your impression of him when he was coming out of college?
Well, I mean, Jim, first of all, I just went through this scouting report the other day, and not just the evaluation of him as a player, but reading the background on him. And it was, I forgot some of this stuff. I mean, like, his dad used to wake him up when he was a kid at 6 a.m. every day, and they would go do, you know, baseball drills or football drills. I mean, this kid had a discipline instilled in him at such a young age. And then you go through and read the comments from the coaches at Wisconsin, it was the same thing. This guy's a machine, you know, in terms of how he approaches things. And, you know, he everything, literally in my report, even as a player, I'm like, literally the line was, I love everything about this player except for his height. It was just a tough sell at that point in time. You got a 5'10 quarterback, and you have to go back to Doug Flutie to find somebody at that size who's, you know, always played at a high level. So that was the knock, and obviously, in hindsight, it was a foolish knock. The guy was a stud coming out, and he's done nothing but be a stud his whole NFL career.
We are talking to Daniel Jeremiah. All right, so what about the guy on the other side, DJ? Jimmy Garoppolo, he had stretches of that game where I didn't think he looked that comfortable. Is it something you'd be worried about long-term, or is that more a product of George Kittle was missing the entire game and Emmanuel Sanders missed a big chunk of that game?
Yeah, I mean, there were some drops. When you go back and really study it, too, the tape, there were some drops in there that would have helped Garoppolo. There also were some interceptions that were dropped. But I would definitely say the difference, you know, one of the key differences in those two quarterbacks is Russell Wilson supremely confident. And I don't know that Jimmy's reached that level of confidence yet. We're just seeing it, letting it go. There's a little bit of hesitation with him right now. But, I mean, look, George Kittle comes back, and what he gives him is all that run after catch. That makes a difference. But yeah, look, he's not where he needs to be for them to win a Super Bowl, but he's got time to get there.
Hmm. Now, as somebody who watches the game with a scout's perspective, what is it about Kyle Shanahan and the way he designs and calls plays that makes him so good?
He's different, man. He's different. He's got the base offense that works, that's tried and true, the stuff that his dad was carving the league up with, you know, decades ago. And then every week there's just these little wrinkles, a lot of times in the run game. And you know, a lot of it's just used to get better angles for blocks, motioning guys, light, you know, just how they formation. It's just different, man. And when you talk to players around the league, and I'm sure you're doing the same thing, the way they talk about this guy, like, it's hard for players to be impressed. And they're like, dude, this guy's a genius. I mean, like, this guy, you know, he knows it's a touchdown when he calls the play. He'll put in the play during the week of practice and tell you this is going to score. Sure enough, that play scores. So he's got a different mind, man.
Which is why I wanted to ask you about him. We're talking to Daniel Jeremiah for a few more moments, which brings me to Pete Carroll. You know, like, Pete can be an easy target for people, DJ, because of all the positivity, all the passion, the energy. You know, people think that it's shtick. But the fact is, you look at that. He's on the verge of a seventh double-digit win season in the last 8 years. So how effective is all that effort that he puts into positivity and mindset?
Well, it's interesting because we were just recording an interview for our podcast. Me and Bucky had Lou Holtz on this morning. And, you know, we asked him about Pete Carroll because Pete Carroll was a GA for him. Like, dude, was this guy this energetic as a graduate assistant? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's who he is. So I think why some people might think, that's not real, that's inauthentic. No, that's who that guy was in the 70s when he was coaching with Lou Holtz as a grad assistant. So he is who he is. And Jim, when I look at the way they play it, yeah, I see the energy, I see the passion. But, man, they're aggressive. He was like that. You remember at SC, it was like they'd be in games at SC in the first quarter. It'd be 4th-and-2 on their own, like, 35, and he's going for it. And just nobody did that. Nobody coached with that much aggression and confidence. And I think that seeps down to your team. I mean, they feel that. They feed off that. And all that success, I mean, as some of these organizations that take so long to rebuild and retool, these guys were in the playoffs in the middle of a rebuild. I mean, they didn't take a break from the postseason. I mean, that's impressive.
You know, I'm watching them pressure the quarterback, DJ, Monday night, and the way they're flying around, I'm thinking to myself, that defense is not what it used to be. They're not what they used to be. And I'm not saying they are, but they're really aggressive, and they're still flying around. You know, you and Bucky are such a great listen, and for a number of reasons. Obviously, both of you have spent time in that league, and you've got the insight and the intel and the background, the experience. Great, great chemistry between the two of you. Something that keeps coming up on this show is culture. Every time I talk to a coach, it comes up in conversation. If I don't bring it up, they bring it up. You and Bucky recently did a really deep dive with James Franklin about building a culture. What was your biggest takeaway from that convo?
You know, it was great. And this is something we've got a chance to talk to so many different coaches about all this stuff. And one of the things James Franklin said I thought was interesting was that you know, so many people have their kind of your philosophy and what I do at this place, I'm going to get a new job and I'm going to do the exact same thing there. And it's a proven formula and it works. And that's how we do it. And he just talked about how, man, before you come in there and beat everybody over the head with your vision of what you want to do, you need to get in there. You need to talk to the players. You need to talk to people around that are around the program. You need to talk to people in the community. Find out what they have, what they don't have, what they like, what they don't like. And get a lay of the land, and that's going to help you, you know, kind of cast your vision of what you want to do. And he told a story about getting to Vanderbilt, and they had a dumpy locker room. So when he got there, he talked to a bunch of people, and that kept coming up. So as soon as he got there, the first thing he did is got the administration and said, hey, we're going to get a new locker room. It's not going to cost us that much money. But at least everybody in the program is going to know, I know there's a problem that they've had, and I'm going to get it fixed and solved immediately. And he was like, that gave me instant credibility with them, that he knew I was kind of, you know, I was there on their side. And I think some people look at that and say, oh, that's kind of cheesy, that's kind of hokey. Like, dude, the guy won it from Vanderbilt. Okay? It ain't easy, man. And what he inherited at Penn State was a mess, and they're a perennial kind of top 10 team. So he's doing something right.
Let me finally ask you this. There's been, in terms of prospects, and again, you're breaking down a lot of tape, there's a lot of buzz, Daniel, about LSU quarterback Joe Burrow lately. Back in August, you admitted, well, I mean, you wrote, it's obvious, you didn't have a lot of chance to see him yet. That's understandable. Now you've had some time to watch him and watch tape. What kind of thoughts do you have?
He's really good, man. I was joking with a GM the other day that it's kind of one of those deals where you're like, yeah, what do you think of Joe Burrow? Well, you know, he's pretty good. I mean, I like him, I guess. You know, he's accurate, he's tough, makes good decisions. He can move around a little bit, extend plays. Isn't that kind of what you want your quarterback to do? Like, what don't you like?
Right.
Like, he doesn't have a huge arm. Who cares? I mean, that's like the knock on him. He just doesn't have a huge arm. But he moves the football up and down the field. He's tough. He makes good decisions, accurate, all that stuff. I mean, all the stuff that makes a good quarterback, this kid has it.
So, final thought. What about here, closer to home? USC true freshman Keaton Slovis. I know he's not, I mean, he's nowhere near draft eligible. Have you watched him very much, and what are your thoughts of him? He looks like he might be a star.
Yeah, I think he's really good, Jim. He came in, and I want to say it was the Stanford game, you know, when Stanford was actually, you know, well thought of at that point in time. They've had a rough year, a lot of injuries, but he stepped in and immediately was, like, attacking down the field. Like, this was not check down Charlie, you know, freshman in there scared to death. Like, this dude was like, okay, it's my turn, and he let it rip. And he's played like that. Now, he, like, BYU, you know, he has some turnovers, and that's expected. But I love the fact that dude, he plays kind of a no-flinch style of quarterback for a young kid. That's not normal. That's fun to watch.
DJ, final thought really quick. David Shaw, you mentioned Stanford. Does he, talking to the people that you talk to and knowing what you know yourself, do you think that he would take a shot at the NFL? And if so, is that time coming soon?
Well, a lot of teams have been interested in him over the years. I think that he can scratch that itch anytime he wants to. I know this is a frustrating year for him up there at Stanford. He loves it up there, though, Jim. So I don't know if he'll ever do it, but I think the opportunity will be there whenever he wants to.
NFL Network analyst, 8 years in the NFL scout. Follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. Check him out with Bucky Brooks for their podcast. He is a friend of the program. DJ, such a great job. Really appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
You're my guy. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you.
You're my guy, Daniel Jeremiah. He is so good. He is so good at what he does. What a good dude, too. Never find a better guy than DJ. Daniel Jeremiah, 3-on-3 legend as well. The Jim Rome 3-on-3 basketball attorney. I want to say 1992, maybe. He was there. He played in it. Sean Rooks was the ringer that showed up and was just bringing the house down, and everybody was so pissed. I'm like, I didn't know. I didn't see him sign up. Be glad it's not Karl Malone. Be crying about Sean Rooks was good, man. Especially that day. Imagine Sean Rooks on a tennis court playing half court, throwing it down. All right, so we are open the rest of the way. Good news. Let me reset, reboot. 1-800-636-8686. When we return, I want to talk about the Lakers and how they showed up last night. JaVale, Dwight Howard getting nice. Golden State suffers a tough defeat. They're busted up. The tables have turned. Also, I might get into the wig. Andrew Wiggins, that is. All of that still ahead, and your phone calls. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This would be the segment to call. I'm looking for telephone calls. We are open this segment. It's an amazing show. Daniel Jeremiah, who is an amazing football mind and generally speaking a great human. I love DJ. Cruz Pendragon was in studio. I did the Bill Romanowski preview for the podcast. Utah State head basketball coach Craig Smith was shot out of a cannon. Indiana head football coach Tom Allen was awesome. I haven't even gotten to the Lakers yet. This is the kind of day we're having. Trade Pros, Ferguson is proud to be a part of what you do. Their pro pickup service allows you to buy online and pick up in-store, making business with Ferguson the easiest part of your hard day's work. You can learn more at Ferguson.com. Adam Hawk is about to bust right through the door. Hello, Adam. One quick thing. It's like he knew. Dear Jim, Romo saying that Trevor Price sucked at first and then got awesome is hilarious, but it also makes me want to cry. If you hadn't busted him up on the RPO podcast, then Price probably would have gone undefeated on his NFL picks this season, and we would all be retired now. Thanks, Jim. Brett from Bugaha, still poor.
Trevor Price was probably the only guy that I've ever played with that when he first got to the Denver Broncos, I looked at him, watched him play, and said, this might be the worst first-round pick ever in the history of the NFL.
You can hear me chuckling because I really did not know how he was going to answer that question. And I will also be honest when I say it made me a little nervous because we know Romo is going to say what Romo thinks. And I like Romo. Trevor is my guy. I love Trevor. And I didn't know if Romo had an issue with Trevor or they had issues in the... I just didn't know. And then when he started telling the story the way he did, that he was the only teammate I had at Denver when he first arrived, I'm like, this might be all right. I thought he was the worst effing first-round pick ever. And they turned it around and said, he got good. He goes, the funny thing about that, too, is either you can play or you can't play. And when I saw Trevor, I'm quoting Romo now, you can play or you can't. And it doesn't matter how hard you work or how busy you get in the gym. If you can't play, you can't play. And when he saw Trevor, he thought he can't play. And then said Trevor got good, really good, dominant. It's a great, great anecdote.
Get good or get gone.
That was also from the podcast. And if you're thinking is, yeah, Romo's cool, but I've heard it all. I've heard you. I've heard him. There's a lot of this stuff that you have not heard, that I have not heard, that was really good, like gold. So make sure you find that podcast, EP104. Don't do it right now. Do it after the show or over the weekend or during your commute. And Trevor could play. Man, he absolutely could play. 1-800-636-8686. Let's try a telephone call. Let's try Josh in Detroit. All right, Josh, you're going to get your shot. Let's see what you do with it. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Jim. Congrats on the Radio Hall of Fame. But, of course, if I would have been there, I would have handled it a little bit different. I would have pulled up a spot at your table, and I would have said, feels damn good to be a gangster, properly pour you all a drink and recorded your acceptance speech from there. Looked like John was a football field back, and what's up with this guy, John in New York, wearing a flat-billed hat and freaking earrings and a rent-a-suit? I never seen a guy fan out so much. The word fan wants it back. Let me tell you something else, Jim. This guy is so shaky on his calls that he probably would call your show and say,
Josh in Detroit is my favorite caller, Jim. Rack him.
I don't know why he didn't get run, Alvin, but he didn't. Josh in Detroit talking about John in New York. All right, so when you say, if it were me, Jim, I would have pulled up a seat right next to you and I would have... Really, Josh? The reason that John in New York was so far back, those are really expensive tickets. Really expensive tickets. And the reason they're really expensive tickets is that's how the Radio Hall of Fame exists. That's how it's subsidized. That's how it's funded. In large part by that night. Those tables cost a lot of money. Single tickets cost a lot of money. My man, he threw down to get in that room because he loves the show. And he loves me. And he couldn't get much closer because most of the inductees bought tables early on for their friends and family. So that's a pretty stupid way to insult a guy. Like, hey, man, you couldn't get any closer than that? He got in the room and he paid for the ticket and brought his daughter, so he paid for two tickets. Costs a hell of a lot of money, Josh. Money you probably will never see. In terms of him with his, quote, flat-brimmed hat, rented suit. I don't know if the suit was rented or not, man. It was good hustle. It was good to see John. He showed up. He showed the love. It was great to see him in person. It was a really positive experience for me to see John. My man, John. Stephen Panis also was there, showed up to represent and support. Man, meant the world to me. Those were really expensive tickets. Hey, Rome. My crack, my heroin, were crack and heroin. Signed, Daryl Strawberry.
Football was my crack.
I'm sure Straw has regrets, and he has shared them. Straw made mistakes. Straw had substance abuse problems. Daryl Strawberry was one of the most amazing athletes I've ever seen. Daryl Strawberry was one of the most amazing players I've ever seen. I like Straw. Straw made mistakes. Straw had demons. Straw still has demons. I like Straw. I'm going to say that for the record. You got to do better than that. You got to do better than my crack and my heroin were crack and heroin.
Football was my heroin.
Just get that crap out of your hawk. Jim, did Bill Romanowski say football was his crack? Well, my crack is covered in blubber and it itches like hell, mate. Signed, Russell Doe. Brian and Charlotte. Hawk, you're just not bright. Really? Yeah, I mean, you're not bright. Wore Rogan Loam telling the waiter to tee up his old man when he tells him he can't have a martini. Even Rogan Loam knows better than to ask for a martini.
Rogan
the story
Loam.
Was he asked for a shot. When we were in New York City and we went to the STK Steakhouse. Drinks were flowing. Everybody was having a good time. They were bumping some really good music. He knew his old man was feeling it. And he tried to order a shot at age 14. I said, Junior, there's not enough beer in the keg for your old man to sign off on that. Stand the hell down, son. It was a shot, Brian. It was not a martini. All right, we will come back. When I say that's your segment and your opportunity, you got to do better than Josh in Detroit. And parody Larry, who's on hold. Lawrence, hang up. I'm not taking your call. No offense, Lawrence. I'm just not. Hang up. Try it another day.
Give me back my son.
I've got a lot of content still. I want to talk Laker basketball. I want to talk about the Laker bigs. AD couldn't go. Didn't matter. And it's not just their product of they went up against Golden State. It doesn't matter who they were going up against. Not when you've got JaVale and Dwight Howard. That's coming up. But I've got a sports update before I can do anything else. And here it is. The only- You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. We are close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices. Excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, so the Lakers went into last night off to their best start since 2010. However, a lot of you still were not buying it or buying them. There's this sense that it's fool's gold. It's not real. They haven't faced any legitimate adversity. No serious obstacles. And then it was announced that Anthony Davis would not go. So let's find out. Let's find out what they're all about. Let's find out what they are without the big man. Let's see what happens when Kyle Kuzma is thrown into the starting lineup and they need even more minutes from JaVale McGee. They can't just spot JaVale. They need him to step up. Let's find out what happens. Here's what happened. Lakers 120, Golden State 94. Now, for years, Warriors v. Lakers has been really unfair, and it was yet again. Except this time, it was the complete reverse. Instead of Golden State slicing and dicing the Lakers with their ball movement and their offensive wizardry, it was the Lakers doing that to Golden State. The tables had turned. Instead of the Lakers looking like a shell of their former glory, it was Golden State who was scuffling and battling through a stretch now without two Hall of Famers who were injured and a third player playing through injury. It was LeBron showing up and doing things like this.
Rebound grabbed by JaVale McGee. Bounce pass LeBron. Windmill dunk. Lakers up 12. 65-53.
John Ireland, if you need him. It was LeBron doing things like that. It was JaVale McGee showing up. JaVale, 18-17-3-3. I said 18 points. 17 boards. 3 blocks, 3 steals in 28 minutes. I know Golden State's not Golden State. They're not themselves. I know that the only Klay Thompson highlight from last night was Klay doing an in-game interview. But even that in-game interview got ruined by must-see McGee.
He taught me the fundamentals. You know, he taught me how to... There's your old teammate, JaVale McGee. Yeah, he's athletic. Good for JaVale. But,
He sure is. JaVale got that rebound. He split the double team, threw down a semi-reverse dunk. Quote, he's athletic. Good for JaVale. I love that. Klay's just shaking his head and smiling. Quote, he's athletic. Good for JaVale. Man, that's true. He is athletic. That is good for JaVale. And even more importantly, good for the Lakers. In fact, right about now, almost everything is good for the Lakers. Such as this.
Here's LeBron backing in Paschal. Throws it in the corner to Bradley. Bradley drives to the rim, throws it up. JaVale cleans it up and dunks it. McGee has 14 points.
Throw it down, big man. Anthony Davis misses that game, and they still have two enormous dudes putting up enormous numbers. Athletic, active bigs who know how to play the game. JaVale, let me repeat this. Anthony Davis missed that game, and they still had JaVale to go 18-17, and Dwight to go 15-8. I've done this a long time. I've been around a pretty long time. I've been stunned about a lot of things in my life. I'm not sure I've ever been more stunned than I am and how Dwight has shown up in his Lakers comeback. He and JaVale are dominating. And they're not just dominating the game, they're changing the game. As JaVale talked about after the game.
I feel like because of Golden State, the whole league has went away from the standard big man. So me and Dwight definitely are working hard to bring it back. Just letting people know that it's necessary for a big man in the game. So... And where a better place to do it than where the greatest big man played.
Put it down, big man! Freaking JaVale speaking the truth. dropping wisdom. The whole game is moving away from the big man, except here in L.A., where we're bringing the big man back. And what better place to do it than where there was the legend of the big man? Man, this guy's right. They can go big. They can move the ball. 39 assists Tuesday night. 31 Wednesday night. 31 Sunday. Three games. 101 assists. They can move the ball. Check this ball movement.
Here's Caruso up the left side. Caruso finds himself double-teamed. Goes to Howard to a cutting Dudley. Corner KCP. Quinn Cook, Caruso down the middle, lays it up and in. Every Laker touched that, Michael, on that half-court possession. All five of them.
Every Laker touched it in that half-court possession. That's Alex Caruso to Dwight Howard to Jared Dudley to KCP to Quinn Cook back to Caruso. And the worst spot on the planet, the one spot nobody ever wants to be, is the spot between Alex Caruso and the basket, because you know that he is going to clown you, which is exactly what happened. That's not just Caruso who's killing the game. Alex is getting help. LeBron had 15 dimes Sunday. He had 11 on Tuesday. He had 12 last night. His 12 came in 26 minutes. He's always been a great distributor. My man is like John Stockton right now. Check this out.
Ball length of the court. Kuzma on an alley-oop from LeBron. Hit him in stride, and he laid it in. Michael, what do you think about 70 feet on that pass?
Yeah, great timing.
And yes, it is easier to do that when you're facing off against a Golden State team that's banged up and trying to figure itself out. It's easier to score and win against this Warriors team. I know this. Steve Kerr said as much after the game.
Almost impossible to win in this league when you can't count on, you know, getting three stops in a row at some point. And we've talked about that for years here, you know, trying to get three stops in a row. Just that's been a mantra. Honestly, I'm not sure if we did that once tonight. You know, so it's defensive breakdowns. It's just stuff that we've got to clean up and got to get better with if we're going to win a game.
Right, so what I'm saying is Golden State, as we know, has not been what they've been the past few years. Understandable. The Lakers, though, have not been what they've been the last few years. LeBron, AD, Kuzma, JaVale, Kuzma, Dwight, Caruso. I mean, these guys are fun. LeBron's playing out of his mind. AD is exactly what Laker fans had hoped. Caruso is carving defenses. And JaVale and Dwight are bringing back the big man. What I'm saying is, Laker Nation, it is time to mount up. It's time to ride with the Lakers again. It's safe. You can. In fact, you have to. Pull out your old school jersey. Buy yourself a new school jersey. Add another flag to your city. Because for the first time in a long time, the Lakers matter again. They're relevant again. They're good again. To quote LeBron. Oh! Taco Thursday! Dwight Howard, I can't say enough how stunned I am by Dwight and the way he's showing up every single night and what he's bringing to it. The energy he's playing with, the athleticism that he's showing once again.
This
dude. We're not talking about how corny or goofy he is or how much candy he's slamming. We're talking about a perfect teammate right now. We're talking about a guy who's giving them great minutes. A guy who knows his role. Man, they're a blast. They're legit. They're real. And we saw
Everybody
how they looked. We saw how they looked without AD last night.
Jim Rome, I'm sitting here with Ernie, EJ. I just want to tell you, LeBron.
Dwight, it's time to come home. I mean, you kind of have already, right? They say you can never go back. He has. The most shocking thing I think I've ever seen is Twitter falling in love with Dwight Howard again. Twitter loves Dwight Howard. Let's drop a phone call in here before I wrap it. New York City. My home away from home, Wayne, in New York City. What's going on, Wayne? How are you?
Great, Jim. Hey, great show Monday. I loved Adam Hawk's story about first time in New York City doing what he did. Amazing. You know, but the best part was the bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge. The bridge doesn't start right at the river.
How good was that?
I was cracking up. I was cracking up because I used to go to Brooklyn, the seaport all the time then, or South Street Seaport, and just like, but the best restaurants, the best pizza, the best bagels, not the best beer.
There it is, Wayne. Too, right? I appreciate you. And the thing is, thanks, Wayne, very much. I love your city. I love New York City. And as I've mentioned, I've done the NFL and CBS now for several seasons, and I go there 7 or 8 times a year because they're gracious enough to let me in their house and their studio. Like the first season I did that, I spent my time in L.A., and I would do a satellite shot. And then thankfully, the powers that be and the people who make these choices said, hey, you know what? If you want, come in studio. I said, oh, I want. I want that very badly. That'd be awesome. If you'll have me, I would love to do that. So whenever I go into the city, I don't go into the city. I stay in the hotel and go to the studio. But last weekend, I spent some time in the city, and it was just such a blast. But I didn't have as much fun as Hawk did. Hawk went into the city, checked off about 12 boxes in 12 hours, and then lost his porn stash. She's trying to grow back. Dude, really quickly, I thought the missus said she was ecstatic when you showed up and returned home, minus your porn stash. So if she was so happy and so proud of you, why are you trying to grow that thing back?
I'm not trying to grow it back. I just haven't shaved this week.
Why?
I've woken
maybe
up late.
It would take 5 seconds.
The past couple days.
Uh-huh.
You know, and have chosen to just drive to work without shaving.
Shaving.
Yes.
Right. So you have not recovered from that New York bender is what you're telling me.
Not quite.
Yeah, I know.
Have you?
No, not quite. Not quite. I see you working. That's why I'm not coming down on you too hard. No, that was tough. It was awesome. But yeah, we're all kind of trying to bounce back.
No regrets at all.
Alvy, have you bounced back? Are you back? He says he's fine. No, you know what I'm doing today? I'm going to the DMV. I got an appointment at the DMV.
Uh-oh.
I told the story. I was in New York. Thanks, Adam. I was in New York, and the person in security said, you know your driver's license has expired, right? I said, no. You know now. Fix it. So I'm going to try and fix it. And I hate to say it, but I have been taking practice tests online. I do have an appointment. You think I am stupid, Hawk? Do you have an appointment?
Hey, Julio.
My man Ritt's onto something. Ritt knows what's up. The answer is yes. He knows.
Yeah.
You don't know. Man, let me tell you something, Hawk. The fact that Ritt knows everything that you don't know is not a good look for you, Hawk. Ritt's having a big week back there in row number 2. My man is so old, but he's on it. Now I'm done. My thanks to Daniel Jeremiah, Cruz Pedregon, Craig Smith, Tom Allen. Check out Ep 104 of the Jim Rome Podcast starring Bill Romanowski, an entire hour with Romo. Got a good Thursday night matchup tonight. Steelers, Browns, who you got? Didn't even get into that today. But we'll be all over that tomorrow. Have a great day. See you then. I'm out.